Welcome to your Personal Child Specialist podcast. Don't you wish that children came with their own instruction manual? We know they don't. But how about getting the next best thing? By having your common parenting and children's health questions answered by Dr. Gaurav Gupta, MD from Charak Clinics, India.
Hi friends, this is Dr. Gaurav Gupta. Welcome back. A couple of weeks back, we had a very, very interesting session with an allergy specialist, Dr. Swati, and I welcome her back for another exciting session. Welcome, Dr. Swati.
Thank you, Dr. Gaurav.
As we all know, Dr. Swati is an allergy specialist working in Chandigarh Tri-City. She has an experience of over 15 years and she's attached to Fortis Hospital as well. Today, we're going to be talking about the mixed bag of questions. You know, stuff which people ask Dr. Swati and to some extent me also all the time. With that, let's straight away go to the first question, Dr. Swati. How do we differentiate allergies and infections as far as parents are concerned?
So it's a very good question. Actually, this was the question which made me more inclined towards knowing that what is not infection and what I'm seeing recurrently in my OPDs. So if you think the child has a seasonal recurrence of symptoms, similar kind of pattern occurring maybe every year during a particular season, like in summers or in winters, usually we have problems occurring in winters or in fall. So this is first point that yes, this could not be infection, but something else. Then if we go back, correlate with the family history, if the parents have a strong family history of either rhinitis or asthma, it's more likely that grandparents have asthma and parents have rhinitis. So if you ask parents, they'll say, nahi, hame kuch nahi hai. But if you go back into detail, then they might come out that yes, my so-and-so uncle and my father or maybe somebody in the family has asthma. So this is second point which says if family history is positive, second, if your child is getting similar kind of illnesses which are reproducible also sometimes. So it could have a seasonal pattern. Or the patient parent may say that whenever the child goes into a storeroom, he gets sick. Or whenever there is winters and I do dusting and I take out the clothes from the closets, me or my child gets frequent sneezing. So this is the history part. Coming to the symptoms part, if the child has a runny nose, which is watery, and it's continuous watery only going on for more than a week, it could be allergy, not infection. Because usually seasonal cough, cold, rhinitis, flus, they get over by 7 days. Second, if these things or any lesions are associated with hives on the body or itching over the body or their rashes, it could be allergy, associated one. Right? These are just simple markers which can incline a pediatrician or a doctor to think about an allergy in the background.
Excellent. So I think very important points. If a child comes to us without fever and is running around absolutely active, and then he has any of the above mentioned symptoms, you need to think of allergy before you think of any kind of significant infection. Am I right in that?
Correct, sir. Correct. Yes.
So the next question is, I mean, I think we have discussed a few of this already, but what are the common presentations of allergies in children? And in addition to that, when do we need to see an allergy specialist rather than going to a general pediatrician, you know, like myself?
Answering the second part first, as I told, if the symptoms are recurrent, has a particular pattern, can be defined, symptoms are reproducible, associated with some factors in the environment or something in the diet, we eat something and gets these type of reactions, maybe diarrhea, maybe some hives of the body or itching, then skin lesions which are occurring after again repeatedly, you get cured once, then in another season it comes back again with a similar pattern. And there are other symptoms also which I'll be discussing now. So if you think the symptoms are recurrent, they are seasonal, they are reproducible, you have a positive family history of allergy, this is the time you should see an allergy specialist. Then answering the first part, presentation could be related to any organ. So it could be skin, it could be nose, it could be chest, it could be eyes, it could be even abdomen. So we talk about skin, you can have hives, which we call as rashes, bumps like. They are itchy and it could be just dryness, itching over the skin, some particular areas of the skin which can have a itching sensation or a dry patches over the body. Second, coming to nose. So the child may have just runny nose off and on. They can have a blocked nose. So indirectly, it can be apparent in the form of snoring at night or sleeping with an open mouth, or maybe just a saliva coming from the angle of the mouth. It could be sneezing. It could be itching over the nose every time the child is rubbing the nose. When we come to eyes, it could be itchy, watery, or red eyes. And they have a seasonal pattern to begin. When we come to lungs, it could be wheezing, it could be cough, which has a pattern. So maybe more at night, or maybe have a seasonal preponderance. Or if the child gets okay with an over-the-counter antihistaminic medications. Coming to abdomen, it could be diarrhea, recurrent, associated with some food. It could be abdomen pain, recurrent, and sometimes vomitings also. And rarely, even nowadays, I have seen patients complaining only of constipation, but they turn out to be having some allergic background. So these are the main symptoms of allergy. And especially if there is a family history, then you should think of allergy.
Yeah, some of them are pretty interesting. As a pediatrician also, I would be a little bit confused in some of these symptoms. So let's look at them one by one. When would you say that snoring may be a sign of allergy?
So Dr. Gaurav, we have seen so many children who are having actually been referred from the ENT department for surgery for adenoids. And when I evaluate them, just a simple marker in CBC was a high eosinophil count. And then we further evaluated. They had raised IgE. They did had very high levels of specific IgE levels. Or when we did the skin test also, they were strongly positive for some one or two allergens. So this made us think that adenoids is a presentation of allergy, especially if the adenoids are grade 3 or grade 4. And sometimes this history runs in the family. So you can see adenoid faces in the parents also. And you can just correlate back, they might be having the same symptoms. And adenoids are basically a Th2 phenomena, what we call in scientifically. So adenoids, if they are persistent, they are very severe, plus other markers, as we have already discussed, add on in the history, then think of this as a sign of allergy.
Just to continue with this, for a pediatrician like me, the treatment would primarily be symptomatic in terms of the nasal sprays and allergy medicines, or you look at immunotherapy also as a valid alternative?
If the levels of allergy are very high, then we do suggest immunotherapy, because then the patient is likely to have a recurrence of adenoids even after the surgery.
Now coming to the second part, which I find quite interesting and something which I never was aware, that constipation as a cause of allergy, A, like how common would it be, and B, like how would I think that this may be a cause of allergies?
We do read that in food intolerance, in case of non-IgE mediated allergies, constipation is a major presentation rather than diarrhea or vomit. And in clinical practice also, we have seen children just constipated, but yes, they are also not growing well. So if I think there is an organic cause behind, and the patient is having low in appetite, patient is having early morning symptoms which suggest that they have a high acid levels, so they feel nausea in the morning, or they have vomitings, plus they have constipation, and it's been going on since childhood, and then yes, add on, as I said, family history, if it's there, then my red signals are very high, then we evaluate them for allergy as a major cause of constipation.
That's very, very interesting. I'm pretty sure that I have never thought or managed a child of constipation as an allergic reaction. So normally, would you get other things like vomiting and rashes and runny nose when you have allergies and constipation, or perioral rash, etc.?
Not very common in these people. We call it that they are not having watery eyes or watery nose, or may have loosies. No, they don't have these kind of conditions. But family history is there. Second, if I get to see constipation in a later age group, in those patients, yes, I do have a prior history of allergic march where they have rhinitis or asthma or skin problem, atopic dermatitis, in the early childhood, and when they grew, they all went away, and now the child is only constipation or the abdominal symptoms associated may or may not be with the recurrent abdominal.
Okay, so you were saying recurrent abdominal pain. Now this is something which really vexes all pediatricians.
Yes.
Because it's very tough to find the cause in a majority of cases. So how do we deal with recurrent abdominal pain from an allergy perspective?
So first of all, this is actually a very important topic because my teacher used to say that we are sitting on a time bomb where now the food allergies are going to flare up like anything. And yes, in last 2 years with COVID surge, I have seen children coming with recurrent abdominal pains. Maybe viral infection is the trigger, which we cannot diagnose by any test. And they are given painkillers in the form of NSAIDs. Some take Ibugesic, some take Meftal recurrently. And then they land up into emergency with non-resolving severe abdomen pain, which actually something like a surgical abdomen, which we call as acute abdomen. Go back to history again. If you find clues, just stop painkillers. My primary intervention in these patients is increase their liquid intake. The major difference in the lifestyle which has occurred is sedentary lifestyle, even in case of children. And second, they are shifting from a normal fresh fruits or fresh food to junk foods, prepared fast foods. This has changed the scenario and we are actually reacting to these kind of changes. In any ways, increase the liquid intake according to the weight of the child. Try to change the food habits. And when patient is in severe pain, I say just stop all NSAIDs, all the painkillers. Just give them liquids. Just give them antacids. You can give at most a paracetamol if you want. Gradually and shift the child from a solid diet to a total liquid diet. And the patient really improves within next 24 hours.
And then afterwards, what do you do once the...
Afterwards, we go back to the history, we evaluate them, screen them for allergies. And if the screening is positive, they are actually being treated. I am actually treating few of these patients with immunotherapy. Few of them, we can identify the allergen, just avoid the allergen and the child is fine. And other thing is, you have to change their lifestyle. That is the must. And just stop taking the over-the-counter medications in the form of recurrent antibiotics or NSAIDs. So this is a very big clue because unless and until you stop taking this, you again fall into the same cascade of abdomen pain again and again. Because these antibiotics and NSAIDs, painkillers, they actually again trigger the same vicious cycle of having a pain in abdomen.
I completely agree. In fact, I remember one of our PGI pediatric gastro professors used to say that, you know, in the entire residency, if you just learn one thing, please don't give Metro to every child or Norflox to every child who comes to you with any kind of abdominal symptoms. He says, I would have done my job. That is all I want you to know. Don't treat with antibiotics any child of abdominal pain to begin with.
True, sir. And even now, the patients are giving deworming. They are deworming on their own. So they say helminths are actually friends for a child. They prevent you from going into allergies. So just don't give unnecessary antihelminthics after every 6 months, even beyond 5 or 6 years of age group.
Fascinating. That's a very interesting point. Let's go from there to, can we do anything about allergies, or is it something like what people say fatalistically, allergies means Allah ki marzi kind of a thing?
No, we can definitely do, Dr. Gaurav, as we have learned so far, that you try to identify the cause of allergy. Allergy means you're reacting to an allergen. So if there is an allergen, maybe been in the air or in the food, there or you are in direct contact with the allergen, if you know what it is, you just try to avoid that if it is possible. There's no allergy afterwards. You are cured of it. Right? Second, at least you can prevent the severe episodes where you have to go to a doctor or land up in an emergency. And third, now we do have therapies of some of these allergens available. And the good thing is 80% of allergies worldwide are because of dust mites. That is what all the papers are suggesting. And dust mite immunotherapy with a very good quality allergens immunotherapy is available. But unfortunately, not in India. We do import from outside because of COVID. It's again, there is a problem in that. But it is available in the world. And these actually cure you. In 90% of the times, I would say, you get cured of allergies. You don't get them again. And the studies have shown if you get the therapies for next 10 to 15 years, you are cured of allergies for sure.
That's really good to know. Something in relation to this, you are an allergy specialist, so you do skin prick testing all the time. And that's something which you do normally. But a general pediatrician, and especially across India, in Chandigarh, we still have good resources. What is the role of the blood testing for allergies vis-a-vis the skin prick testing? And how do you rate the blood testing in terms of the different kind of ELISA versus the ALA top, FADIA top test, etc., that are available?
gold standard for allergy testing is skin prick test for sure. But for that, you should have standardized allergens. Second, regarding the blood test, blood tests are also good. Nowadays, ELISA is not a method of testing allergens. FADIA-TOP or ImmunoCAP method is the test, the method of test. But unfortunately, when people don't know about it, they go for low-cost tests, which are basically ELISA-based. So whenever you get tested, please see the method of the test. Studies are going on. Even I am also conducting a study when I'm comparing these two. And what I have found is both are equally good till now. But yes, sometimes you might miss the allergy in the blood test, but you may pick up in the skin prick test. So the sensitivity and specificity, if you talk about, then blood test, they do have cross reactions also. So if doctor is not very much trained about finding out what is the allergen which is actually causing the trouble in the patient, so for that he needs to be very strong in his history background, then you may just end up stopping so many things in the diet just because the blood test is showing you those results. These results may not be present in the skin test. So skin test is more specific.
And the other, I think, issue is also that when you send a sample to a lab for testing, they have so many different panels that as a lay pediatrician, it's very confusing for me to decide what test to actually order. So any tips for that?
Yes, that's true. Sir, just you have to build your knowledge about the allergens first before starting practicing allergy. So individual allergens, if you know how they present, in which season they are, what are their sources in the environment where they are, so that you can, in history, now 30 minutes of history is just being taken and spent on asking where the person lives, what is the quality of the environment he or she is living, room is ventilated or not. So there are so many things which actually are in the back of our mind that I'm trying to identify which allergen might be possible. So that knowledge is very essential before you proceed and try to tell the patient that go for this or that panel.
What about the most important dreaded disease as far as parents in India are concerned? It's about curing asthma. So what has been your experience about curing asthma in children?
Thankfully, sir, I had a very good experience treating asthma because I knew that 90% of asthma in children is allergic. So to be very frank, none of my patients is now on any type of inhalation therapy who had come with asthma and was ready to get evaluated and whom we could find out the allergen behind it. They are now going back into the atopic march from the asthma now to rhinitis. So they are having a milder symptoms now.
Since 90% have apparent causes, that sounds like a good thing. And for children who have severe asthma, I think that is definitely the way forward. But is it true even for the milder asthmas, for the ones who require maybe a few weeks of therapy every few months? In their case also, you would recommend immunotherapy or?
No, sir. So my criteria of evaluating a patient with asthma is the asthma should be perennial.
Okay.
If you have just a seasonal asthma, then we try other things. They are not a candidate for further detailed evaluation, or the asthma is seasonal but it is moderate to severe. Only those are need evaluation.
So this leads to that question which I'm sure they all ask me also whenever they come for the non-severe asthma and for the seasonal asthma. They always come and say, Doctor, what is the child allergic to? So how do you respond to that kind of a situation when you're not testing?
So this is a patient where we always give, like you lay the platter in front of them. If you want to choose, if you want to find out which is the allergen, we can help you. But we know that this patient might not require the same treatment the next year again. Because he is growing, he may grow out of this part also. So for mild seasonal, if a patient is insistent, yes, we can go for the test. We will be able to identify the allergen.
This is something which I think is a pet topic of yours because we have been discussing this before. Chemical exposures through environment is increasing a lot. We are using a lot of preservatives in our food, especially the processed foods, water, air, everything is polluted. So what can we do to protect our children?
So one thing nature has automatically been gifted from them is a mask. So for last 2 years, when mask is on, there are many children who used to be affected time and again. But for last 1.5 years, they are totally off any problems. So this is an example that they are actually been avoided of these chemicals in the air or in the outside environment. Second is try to increase the liquid intake. So whatever metabolism, whatever toxins, whatever is happening in the body because of these exposures, they actually get flushed out. They don't get collected in the body, so they don't produce symptoms. Third is exercise. Exercise leads to such hormones which actually makes you more immune, more tolerant to the allergic phenomena. So these are actually three things which are missing in anybody's prescription and which are actually missing in any family advices also. So these are important. Children are now having a sitting lifestyle. So they should be playing outside for at least 2 hours for children. For adults, we say 1 hour of exercise. Fourth is carry your own water bottles. Now there are so many talking about like stored water, plastic gets leached into the water. So again, another chemical into your water. Then role of probiotics. So people are shifting now from curd also. Curd is a very good natural probiotic which is available to us handy. So please give them to your child. If at all some reason the child cannot be given curd, then please ask your pediatrician for some probiotics which can be taken intermittently. And yes, most important, fast food. Cheese and corn and red paprika and coloring agents and then preservatives. And then in Chinese food, you have monosodium glutamates. These are big culprits, big chemicals in your diet. This slowly actually takes away your immune system. So please avoid that. After that, the food has to be with lots of varieties. So when we say about colorful plate, so be as natural, as fresh in the food selection and as local, regional food. Not like people are on like they want kiwis and they want berries. Our genes are not tolerant to that. So please be as local and as natural, as regional as you can.
So a healthy lifestyle is something that really helps to prevent a lot of lifestyle diseases, whether it is obesity, whether it is cancer, and also it works for allergies. So you've been talking a little bit about the probiotics. So let me put all of these three things together. What is the role of vitamins, probiotics, and a lot of natural foods, because we keep on getting advice about natural foods also. So what are all of these in terms of protection from allergies?
So basically, allergy actually leads to any pollution, any chemicals are going to lead to an oxidation injury. You get more of free radicals. So you need to have more antioxidants in your diet. So antioxidants may, your vitamins, they do act, fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin A, D, E, they are very good antioxidants. So this should be a part of your diet if your diet is lacking in that. And actually the diet is lacking in the good nutrients, because earlier our soil was very rich in these minerals and micronutrients and everything. But over the years now, they say if you compare to the soil of a rainforest, which is supposed to be 30 or 40% rich in minerals, the soil in our tell about Punjab or Haryana, the nutrition part which is left is only 0.3 or maybe less than 1%. Imagine what nutrition are you getting. Second, because of the oxidant injury, the antioxidant requirement is more, because the oxidant injury is increased because of increased chemicals in the air, the pollution, the petrol and diesel particles in the air. Then you have water with plastics in it. Then you have food with so many coloring agents and pesticides and fungicides. So many things are added. Plus, on top of that, you take over-the-counter antibiotics. So many medications you take on your own. These are all oxidant injury. So your daily requirement of antioxidants increases many folds. Coming to probiotics. Probiotics actually shield the wall of your intestine. And earlier, it was said that 60% of your immunity lies in your intestine. So you have to strengthen that part much. So a good probiotic, and a probiotic varies from a person to person. So I may have a different flora, you may have a different flora. So this all is better judged by your doctor. So probiotics line up your intestine, and whatever you eat, it actually gets transformed after digestion and so many processes into much better soluble and adaptable form, which my body actually gets friendly with. If it doesn't happen, so if things get leaked into your blood through the intestine, then these become an allergen to my body. My body doesn't recognize them, so I call this as allergy. So probiotics have a major role. And sometimes these probiotics actually produce some kind of chemicals which actually kill the harmful things going on in my intestine, harmful bacteria, harmful processes. So probiotics have a very good role. And when we talk about natural food, as I told you, the more fresh a thing is, the less chemical it has, the less processed it is, the better quantity of vitamins and minerals it will have, and the proteins will not be also denatured. Even they say microwaves and high temperatures, they are actually going to denature the proteins of the food. So my body might not recognize them and take it as an allergen. So all these have a very, very important role in treating or preventing the allergies.
One clarification, when you were using the word antioxidants, you were basically referring to vitamins, right? That was the main thing.
Vitamins do have antioxidants.
Yes. Yes. And when you talk about natural foods, can I just ask you to elaborate a little bit more about things like curcumin, you know, haldi, and things like honey and other things? Do they have anything specific in terms of allergy and improving the immunity?
Not very specific, sir. As you said, curcumin, it has a role in boosting up your immunity. So all these things enhance your immunity. They may not be having any effect on the allergen presentation into the body.
How does honey help in preventing allergies, Dr. Swati?
Honey has been prepared by honeybees from so many natural contents of the flowers and flora around us. And so when we consume this, we actually are getting these things in a modified form, which is being better digested by our body and has been introduced to our body in a way which is not allergen.
I think this really rounds up a lot of the common questions. I'm sure there are many more. And in case you have more questions, you can always write to us at yourpersonalchildspecialist@gmail.com, or you can check out my YouTube channel at Charak Clinics, and you know, just talk to me, tweet me at Doc Gaurav, DocGaurav. And we'll definitely have Dr. Swati answer those questions as well. Before we end, anything you want to add, Dr. Swati, about the things that we topics we have discussed till now?
Just two more things, sir. In my studies, as I told you, I am also conducting a study. So I have patients coming with recurrent headaches, patients, because migraine is something which has no laboratory investigation to diagnose migraine. So I have patients with recurrent headaches and even recurrent urinary tract infections, which are not proven by culture. I've seen these kind of patients also, which have been given recurrent antibiotics. And if we don't just stop them and treat like allergies, I have found some allergy background also in these patients. We have diagnosed allergy in these patients. So this is another clue I just wanted to share with you.
I would never have thought. So I think we end with a very good, healthy lifestyle and flush out your toxins with a lot of fluid intake, avoid processed foods. If you are in doubt, talk to your doctor. Thank you, Dr. Swati, for being with me and for taking out so much time. It was a real pleasure interacting with you.
Same here, Dr. Gaurav. It was such a lovely discussion with you. Thank you.